The Tantrum House Board Game Podcast is recorded live from Studio WKRB in Greenville, South Carolina. This podcast is brought to you by our friendly local game store, Boardwalk, purveyors of fine games, Bezier Games, the new classics, Final Frontier Games, bringing friends and family closer together, The Game Steward, your second chance at Kickstarter games, and Game Toppers LLC, upgrading your gaming experience. Your hosts are Prognosticator Supreme, peering into the swirling mist of future Kickstarters and glimpsing the diamonds in the rough. So buckle up. Seriously, especially if you're driving right now, because you're about to arrive at the Tantrum House.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the show. Today we've got Ryan Pills,
Melissa Dell,
Kevin Dell,
and Katie Pills
in the house.
Woo! Wow, we just finished our Red Barn game night, and it was awesome.
Yes.
Are we just going to ignore the fact that Will and Sarah aren't here?
Yes, we are. Yes, we just went straight into what games we've been playing.
We really miss you guys.
We know they don't listen to it anyway.
So, we can say whatever we want.
Well, we are praying for Will and Sarah because Will lost his grandmom, and so they had to go travel up to Ohio. We miss them. We look forward to seeing them back shortly. But anyway.
Yes.
Moving on to our
game night.
We did have a good game night.
We got to play quite a few games. There was quite a few people there, too.
There were. It was pretty crowded. A couple of times I thought, I don't think there's a table for us to sit down and play at. Okay, we're going to go find one.
And no one knew when they arrived, but everyone, we had drinks in the house. Mm-hmm. So we had our Tantrum House tap.
Yes, it's a coffee shop. So it was like espressos and teas and that sort of thing.
But no one knew. So everyone that arrived that tonight got a special little treat. So that was kind of cool. I think a lot of people were excited about that.
Yeah,
we did have to stress only one drink per person.
That's right.
Some people were like, drinks on the house.
You know, we are gracious and we are giving, but there is a limit.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think everybody had a good time. What games did you guys get a chance to play?
Well, I mainly taught. I did get to play Lanterns with Ryan and Katie.
Oh, yeah.
At the end. So I did get to play a game at the end. Otherwise, I was teaching. I taught Azul to some people, and they really enjoyed it. We didn't get into an instance where someone had to fill their floor with negative points. So that probably helped that they weren't too mean to each other. And then I also taught Gizmos. So that one was a lot of fun, seeing people's engines start to run on their machines.
I taught Cryptid from Osprey Games, and that was good. Someone found, we pretended we were looking for Bigfoot.
Yeah.
And someone found Bigfoot, and
awesome.
That was exciting. They really enjoyed it, you know, the abstract strategy game. And then I actually played Kingdom Rush, which is a prototype from Lucky Duck Games that I can't talk too much about right now because we have to wait till next week to hear more about Kingdom Rush, the board game. I know it's a really popular app, but Lucky Duck's bringing it to
it. I really like the Kingdom Rush apps. Like, tower defense is my thing, so I'm excited to see how this game turns out.
Yes, it was fun. We played multiple scenarios just to feel how it played with, they had different setups, so it was kind of fun. What about you guys?
Well, I got to play
Tyler Sigmund's Crows.
Yeah,
Is it Sigmund or Signum?
Sigmund.
Okay.
Sigmund.
And that's from Junk Spirit?
Yes, yep. Junk Spirit
Games.
You
guys pledged for that on
We
Kickstarter?
Did.
Yes. We got the deluxe, I think.
The deluxe edition,
so
yeah, with metal coins.
Yeah,
and
the coins are really nice.
It was really very
that
interesting.
That box is a lot bigger than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
With the sleeve and everything.
Yeah.
It's pretty nice.
It was very, as I say, it is really nice. And we had a fun time playing that. It's a tile placement game that has some really unusual parts to it. Just like, they're pretty unique. I haven't seen a whole lot of other games that use that kind of mechanics in it. So that was fun.
Yeah, it seems like there's a lot going on at first, but actually it's a very simple game once you start getting into it.
Yeah.
There is definitely some strategy involved with where you end up placing
your tiles
totem
and your totem, yeah.
How to mess up other people.
That's true. We had it's not a take that game, but it got to where it almost was because if you do that, I'm doing this.
There was some times where I was like, oh, I'm gonna get like 20 crows this time, and I'd end up with two. I'm just like, how did this happen? how is this happening to me?
Yeah. So
it was Katie. Katie was out to undermine me
anyway,
the whole time.
So did you guys teach songbirds too?
No.
Oh, I saw someone playing songbirds.
Somebody just picked it up and was playing it. That was fun. We played lanterns. There was one point where all the guests were like all having fun playing games together, and it was just me and Ryan and Melissa, and we're just like, well, all right, I guess we're gonna play a game together.
Yeah. But yeah, it was a fun night, and
I actually saw Castles of Mad King Ludwig out. Did any of you get into that one?
I didn't.
That's from our very own sponsor, Bezier Games.
Yeah.
So I'm glad to see when our sponsors' games get on the table. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, there were lots of games out that we weren't teaching, so there were other people picking them up. They either knew how to play or they were teaching themselves. Blank Slate, Mysterium was out.
I taught Mysterium. So, started to teach Mysterium and then got pulled into something else. So,
yeah, I heard the ghost wasn't doing a good job connecting with his psychic. So there was some disagreements there.
There always is.
Well, let's jump into a word from our episode sponsor.
This episode is sponsored by Furious Tree Games. Their game, Widget Ridge, is on Kickstarter now. It's a 1-2-player steampunk-themed deck-building game where you are collecting machines in your workshop and building these crazy things like a clockwork-powered butter gun and trying to collect gold and spark. We talked about this on our last episode, so if you want to hear more, listen to last week's episode and check out Widget Ridge on Kickstarter.
And now let's jump into our Kickstarter conniption.
Kickstarter conniption!
This week, we've got 9 Kickstarters coming the week of April 1st, 2019, and that's no joke. Melissa, what do we got?
Well, I think we need to start off with the Tantrum House Season 6 Kickstarter, which is coming on April 2nd.
Woop woop!
Yes, we have so much that's coming that we are super excited about talking about. We've got promos. We've got game bundles, mystery boxes.
And mystery boxes?
Yes.
Oh, that's exciting.
And our quest cards. So, Melissa, do you want to explain the mystery boxes real quick?
Well, as reviewers, we receive a ton of prototypes year after year, and a lot of them are just sitting around in our house. We love the games. They're great games, but we don't have room for them all. So we thought we would share them with our fans. So one of the pledge levels is you can get a box of 3 prototypes, and it's guaranteed to have a big box prototype, kind of a medium-sized one, and then a small prototype. It's going to be completely random, though, but we have covered a lot of games. Some of them have gone on to win awards after they've been published.
Major awards.
And then others, let's just say that these might be one-of-a-kind games.
And as long as you don't open the box, you'll never know if you have the award winner or the other.
That's right.
And I think Katie's going to make a really cool mystery stamp.
Really?
We've talked about it.
Have we talked about this?
Have we?
I found an email today where we were talking about, hey, Katie, why don't you make a really cool mystery box stamp?
A mystery box stamp. Okay, I'm going to work on it then.
But the cool thing is about this, it's the prototypes, you know, they're almost like collectibles in a way because they are unique.
They are kind of cool.
They got like this original drawings and artwork.
Yeah,
and stuff.
I kind of have some mixed emotions about giving these up.
But you don't have to give up all of them. Some of them.
Yeah.
Well, that's really neat. I always love grab bag type things. I love the mystery box, the grab bag, it's like a fortune cookie.
And it's kind of interesting to see some of the prototypes are very similar to the published games, and then others, they've actually
way
come
different.
A long way.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a wide range of how finished the product is.
You can see maybe some of these really popular games, some of these rules that got tossed out. They're like deleted scenes from movies.
That's right. So I wanted to real quick just run through just not all the promos, but I wanted to run through some of them that we may have already mentioned on the podcast. You may have missed an episode or two. Hopefully not. I hope you listen to an episode every week. But here are some of them, and we'll continue unveiling more even in the weeks to come, because there are still some publishers that are finishing up some stuff. But we're getting an Unfair promo card from Good Games Publishing.
And this is a new one, right?
Yes, brand new.
Featuring Tantrum House members.
That's right. Sarah's on it, and her boys, and Will's in the background.
Yeah.
And then we have a Chronicles of Crime, a promo that they did. It's of me and my hat. We have...
He must be the bad guy.
That's right. Renegade Games created a helm of promotion that's cool for the game Spell Smashers. Melissa really likes that game.
Yeah, it's a word game.
Cool.
And not all our games, or not all the promos are brand new. There are some ones that you may have seen around and about, maybe on other Kickstarter campaigns or even through the company. Forbidden Games is giving us their Raccoon Tycoon promos, and Thunderworks is giving us some Role Player promos. Have you guys ever played Role Player?
I've been meaning to. It's one of my regrets of my life.
And Territory. Well, maybe we can talk to Keith and get you, we can play that. Terraforming Mars, you may have heard of that game.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
They have a lot of different promos. And we talked to Steven Bonacour, and he is giving us the Penguin promo.
Ooh,
what?
Yes.
Penguins.
Yep, so that's pretty cool. Bezier Games, our sponsor, has created a Suburbia tile, and they just had a huge Kickstarter campaign for that. Mm-hmm. I think I'll leave it at that for now.
Do you want to say anything more about that Suburbia tile?
Go for it, Melissa.
That it's actually Tantrum House.
Yes, right.
Ooh.
It's a Tantrum House Suburbia tile.
So you can have Tantrum House in your city.
And cool. Not only do we get promo cards, which are really cool, but we have game bundles too. Like we have a lot of the publishers are giving us like a bundle game. Some of them are even autographed by the designers of the game.
That's
which
pretty
makes
cool.
It a little bit more special, I think.
Yeah.
So that's cool. And last but not least, we have our quest cards.
Quest cards!
Katie and I may have spent a significant portion of our St. Croix vacation brainstorming and developing this quest card, and I think it's going
to
be pretty awesome.
That's
yeah.
Good to hear.
Yeah. We're pretty excited.
And so I hear that it's not only fun, but it will be funny.
Yes, that's what we're hoping.
Okay.
We're shooting for funny.
Okay. Give us just like a quick overview.
Well, it's...
Just don't spoil too much. But
oh,
just...
okay. Well, it's
choose your own adventure
okay.
style.
Yeah.
It can be as a theme, or you're still holding back on that.
It's
okay.
I think we're gonna hold back. Okay. It's gonna be a surprise.
Okay.
Yeah.
And let's kind of explain the whole quest card concept. Each studio is going to make its own quest, and we're going to have these cards that you can pledge for with QR codes on them. You scan the code, and it will launch you into the quest. I know Kevin and I, our quest is probably going to be more puzzly, like crossword puzzles and other sort of deductions and puzzles that you need to solve, which will get a surprise.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not a surprise, but something interesting at the
That's
end.
That's right. I'm telling people what they will get. Because they...
An incentive.
There's going to be lots of puzzles, but eventually, as they complete these puzzles, they will unlock a code for a special video where I will teach them how to do their own cool magic trick.
Now, is this something that I'll need to go and, like, purchase, like, a cape or a hat or anything? Or is this going to be, like, I can impress my friends at a dinner party
Correct.
With this
You're
trick?
You're going to be able to impress your friends at a dinner party with this magic trick.
Cool.
For less than $10.
That's right.
Yes. All right.
And you're not risking being thrown out of the Guild of Magicians by unveiling secrets
That's
or anything.
Right.
This is why it's secret. And you have to go through the quests.
That's
and
right.
Not only paying for the quest card, you also have to go on an adventure to find out this quest or to find out how to get to it. So they have to put work into it to get there. Like, just like I did.
Yes.
So.
Cool.
One of the things I like about the quest cards is that each one will be completely unique, because we are generating special names for each
one. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So semi-collectible.
I think one of the things I think is neat is that we're doing a themed color with for each studio, and then the names are going to be connected with that those colors, which I think is going to be fun and interesting.
So you guys are doing a yellowish theme. So I've seen some pretty cool yellow. Have you seen any of the submissions?
I've put in my own submission.
Okay, we've got.
And I saw Ryan's submissions.
We've gotten dozens and dozens of submissions.
I didn't know if I kind of think now I'm like, oh, I should go back and submit some more.
You know, we can wait till the submissions are over and add some more.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I should have made a list.
That's fine. But yeah, there's some pretty cool yellow names. And I've seen some good red names for Studio D. So, and just so you know, Studio Awesome's got other that choose your own adventure style game. Studio D's got the puzzle game. I don't really know that much about Studio 3 or Studio HQ, but maybe through the, throughout the campaign we'll learn a little bit more about what they're doing. So I'm excited. Is that it for the Kickstarter of this week then, Melissa?
Yeah, I mean, is there anything else to talk about this week?
Probably not.
Well, thanks for... there was something, wasn't
In
there?
In fact, yes, there are. Didn't we say there were six games?
Nine games.
Oh, well, I was off.
Eight games and an amazing Tantrum House Kickstarter.
Oh, okay.
Katie, you want to start?
I will start us off. So coming this week is Vae Victus. It is by Two Tomatoes. And it is a game about ancient Rome. The Rome is basically falling apart around you, and as a wealthy patron, you are trying to keep it together. And you are having to throw your money and your influence at it. You're trying to keep barbarians from overtaking Rome. It is a semi-cooperative game because you do have to work together to keep Rome from falling apart, but you are also secretly trying to gain control of the government. So there is that that thing, and each person has a different victory condition they have to meet. To,
a little asymmetrical.
Yes, it is. It, everybody has the same powers, but it's asymmetrical in the win conditions. So that's pretty interesting. Ryan, what have you got?
Coming April 2nd from Atlas Games is Gloom of Thrones. This is another installment of Gloom. I believe it's compatible with all of the Gloom decks that have come out so far. But it's a thinly veiled parody of Game of Thrones. So instead of the Starks and the Lannisters, you've got the Snarks and the Bannisters.
The Snarks! No. Oh, that's
and
good.
They are fighting over the porcelain throne instead of the iron throne.
Oh, my.
But just like any great Gloom game, you are striving to make your family just utterly miserable and trying to play nice things on other families. And whoever has the most miserable dead family possible wins.
Oh, that does
and
sound like the actual Game Gloom, of Thrones.
Gloom is one of those. It has this really interesting transparent card mechanic where you stack the transparent cards and you the different effects from cards below bleed through.
I like that. That's cool.
I never saw that before Gloom, so it has a special place in my heart. So definitely check it out. Coming April 2nd, Gloom of Thrones. Melissa, what else you got?
Also on April 2nd, it's a Tuesday, so it's Kickstarter Day, is Endangered. This is from Grand Gamers Guild. It is designed by Joe Hopkins, and it's a 2-5 player cooperative game where you are playing to save an endangered species. One side of the map, you're trying to save tigers, and the other side, you're trying to save sea otters from extinction, and you are taking actions to move animals around and avoid the dangers. You're trying to help the animals to mate and produce offspring, so there's more of that animal. And you're having to meet the demands or requirements of certain UN ambassadors to win the game, and you have a certain amount of rounds that you can do this, and it is a dice placement game to take your actions. So the value of your dice is what you're using to activate certain cards that are out, and you have to play a die that is higher than any dice that are on that
specific
card.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's cooperative, so you're trying to work together and say, oh, if I place this 4 here, Kevin, can you still place your 5? And
yeah.
Really working together to get the actions that you need to gain money. Some of the ambassadors,
I don't know,
are you paying them off?
I think they're paying them off sometimes. So, But we actually played both sides. A few years ago, we actually tried to save the otters. I don't know if we were successful.
We were not. That was a prototype version about maybe 2, maybe even 3 years ago at Origins.
And then we, the prototype that we did the preview on, and we actually have a video out on it, is Saving the Tigers. And I liked what they did with the gameplay. I think the art fits well. You have to make sure that it fits well, because this is a pretty, like, maybe sensitive topic for some people, talking about endangered species.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really good because it's not cartoony. It has a more realistic feel to it. I think it works well.
Mm-hmm. And each player is a different character. So you may be a zoologist or a philanthropist.
Yeah.
Philanthropist.
Thanks, Ryan.
Environmental lawyer. And each player has a specific power, that so there's some asymmetrical player powers in the game.
And two more things with Endangered is, number one, Grand Gamers Guild created promo cards for Tantrum House, and we are all ambassadors in the game.
Yes, so
I was a little surprised you didn't mention that earlier, but yes.
I knew it was coming.
Oh, okay.
So if you
keep throwing the Tantrum House Kickstarter in everyone.
Oh, okay.
Yes, so if you pledge on the Tantrum House Kickstarter, you can get a pack of 6 ambassadors for Endangered, one for each of us.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
And number two is, if you want to hear more about sort of behind the scenes of Endangered, we will be having Mark Spector on our show next week.
And he's the publisher.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Kevin, how about you?
On April 4th, Colossal Games will be launching Papillon, and that is designed by J.B. Howell. He actually came to Tantrum Con.
Mm-hmm.
He was a special guest.
He was, and he had a great time showing off the prototype of this, and we were able to play the game and also do a video for it. Papillon is a butterfly-themed game, and throughout the game, you are actually collecting these garden tiles, these flower tiles, and creating your own personal garden, creating sort of flower patches and fields, sort of Carcassonne-like style, but in your own personal garden. And then as you complete flower beds, you are taking your butterflies and placing them on your flower beds, eventually placing them on to 3-dimensional flowers that match the colors of those flower beds.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're trying to do is have area control over the different 3-dimensional flowers, because each of them give points at the end of the game based on majority scoring.
Mm-hmm.
So if I had the most, one flower could give me 10 points. The second person having the most on a specific flower could get like 6 points, and so on. And there's like 8 different flowers. So you have choices to make as you're placing the butterflies out, because there's not just one red flower. There's actually 2 red flowers. So you get to choose, as I complete my red flower bed, am I going to put it on this one red flower that's maybe empty and has no butterflies, or over here, which might help me get better points. So
yeah.
And you're going to get points from your flowers. You're going to get points at the end of the game from your fields that have butterflies in them, and the flower patches. So
yeah, it's really interesting. At least in the prototype, the butterflies are on these tiny, tiny little clothespins. And so you actually clip them onto the cardboard flower standees. Well, that's pretty
very cool.
Yeah, and I actually talked to the company, and they said they're going to keep it the same. So
oh, neat.
Yeah, the clothespins. I think it worked really well. So, Katie.
All right. So the next game that I'm talking about is Botanists. I said Botanists. I found that one a little hard to say. It's for 2 to 4 players. It's anywhere from 30 to 60 minutes. And it is about growing and tending flowers. That seems to be a popular theme right now.
I know, right?
Yeah. So you're actually choosing flowers, and you're buying seeds, you're fulfilling orders for different flowers. Some flowers are more popular than others. It sounds like you're going to be getting negative points if flowers die while like nobody chooses your flowers and they wither and die after a certain amount of time. The art in this looks very interesting. There, it's listed as a pattern building and pattern recognition game.
Okay.
Yeah, it's also got silk collection, tile placement, and each gardener or botanist has their own player power. So
cool.
Sounds
cool. Yeah, flowers are like the theme, right?
They
now.
Are. They are. There's a lot of flower games coming out. I don't know. There's like cycles of popular themes that go around.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So that is Botanists. Ryan, did you have something else?
Yes. Coming April 2nd, who would have thought, is Ignite by Ginger Snap Gaming. We've talked about this a little bit on a previous episode, I believe, and we have a preview video
and
out. And a playthrough.
Yeah.
This game, we just got to see the prototype, excuse me, and even in its prototype form, it was a lot of fun, but in the final form of the game, there's going to be minis. The minis look amazing.
I know they do. He's put a lot of work on them.
The ones they've already printed look really good. This is like a deck builder in that you have your minis, but and you're doing your tactical movement. But when you go into certain regions of the map, you can purchase cards, which you'll be using to do your different actions and attacks and such. And some of the cards let you do some really cool things. One of them is Ice Wall. So you can lay down this wall of ice and it pushes everybody aside. And the terrain that you're on will have different effects that interacts with different cards in different ways. So you might use the ice wall to push someone into lava. And we've killed more than one person that way. Or if someone's in water, I think the electricity spell would shock them more. Or if they're in the forest and you cause a fireball, they might catch on fire.
Yeah, that
better.
Happened to me. Sarah did it. She burnt me to a crisp.
Wait, weren't you the ice wall person?
No, I think in another game she was the ice wall person.
Sarah.
You have to watch
Sarah.
Out for her.
It
she
was just
a
Sarah.
Spell slinger.
So there's some really interesting interactions that go on. And what I do like is when you get eliminated, you still have the chance to earn additional points because you get to use these little water sprites or spirits, I believe. To continue playing, you are a little bit more restricted, but you're still involved and in the fray. And it was just a lot of fun. I definitely would check it out if you get the chance. Ignite from Ginger Snap Gaming, coming April 2nd. Kevin, you've got another game, right?
I got two real quick.
Oh, wow.
Well,
Kevin.
Because I didn't want to forget AEG. I don't really know that much about it and actually never played it, but AEG is bringing a premium edition to Valley of the Kings.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to just mention that they usually do pretty good. They publish good games, and I wanted to mention, check out their Kickstarter coming, I think it's April 2nd as well. But one game I am really interested in, it's coming from Mojito Studios, and this is called Cleopatra and the Society of Architects. Now, this game was actually originally published by Days of Wonder
mm-hmm.
back years ago, and it had pretty, and Days of Wonder is known for their production quality.
Yeah.
You know, Ticket to Ride and things like that, they're very well known in for doing that. So when people heard that Mojito Studios is bringing this back, and they said with a deluxe edition, people are like, well, it was already pretty good. What
yeah.
are you going to do? Well, it's pretty cool looking. One is the designers, Bruno Catala and Ludovic Montblanc, I think are retooling and just refining a lot of the rule set to make it even a better game and gameplay. So it's not just reprinting the game with maybe better quality components. They actually bringing the game back with better gameplay as well, which
Neat.
Is key, I think,
yeah.
when you redo a game. But
definitely.
The actual palace, I think it's called, is a freestanding 3D palace. And I saw actual like 3D renderings of it. It's pretty sweet looking. And they have this game board that goes on top of the palace and by the palace. And
yeah, is this one where during the game the palace is being built?
Yes.
Is that part of the
it sort of reminded me of
Pillars of the Earth?
Yes, thank you, Melissa.
You're rebuilding
the cathedral, Pillars of the Earth, whereas that's just more like a wooden cathedral. This one's a nice size, multiple set 3D palace. So
Neat.
I'm excited about this Society of Architects. It is for 2 to 4 players, takes about an hour to play, so which is good. And it's got area enclosure, auction bidding, hand management, set collection, and tile placement. So it's got a lot of mechanics that I think I would enjoy playing.
Yeah.
So
sounds interesting.
Check out Cleopatra, Society of Architects from Mojito Studios, coming April 2nd. I think that might be it, unless someone else has got one more. That's it. Well, let's jump into our house guest segment with John Cugu from Genius Games.
Hey!
Hey, guys. Glad to be here.
Hey, John. We're so glad you're here, too. We know you, but our listeners might not. So can you tell them a little bit about yourself and your company, Genius Games?
Yeah, absolutely. So Genius Games started about 7 years ago as a hobby, but we started actually making money in 2014. So maybe that's the official start date. I soon after quit my job because, well, I didn't really like my job. I was working as a consultant for a larger corporation, and I loved making games and realized that it just made me so much more happy, and I would come home so much more happy. So I decided to quit that job and officially go full-time about 3 years ago, 3.5 years ago. And so Genius Games focuses almost exclusively on games that are themed around accurate science concepts, right? So our themes are embedded in reality. I live in St. Louis, Missouri. I have two kids, Soren and Nora, and I've been married for a little over eight years, actually. I don't want to mess that up because if my wife listens to this, she might not be very happy. Yeah, and St. Louis is just a great community for board gaming. I've lived here my whole life.
Cool. So we want to talk about your Kickstarter campaign, Nerd Words Science. Tell us a little bit about the new campaign you got going on.
Yeah. So this is the first party-ish word game that we've done. It's a very difficult game or type of game or genre of game for Kickstarter. But yeah, let me tell you about the game first, and then we'll talk about the Kickstarter. So the idea is, you break into teams, and each team has a few different science terms, or each player has a few different science terms. Now, when it's their turn to be the clue giver, they're going to be giving clues to both teams. But there's some restrictions with the clues that they can give. So the clue must start with one of the letters that is in the science term. So as an example, if the science term was, say, volcano, you could use the word lava, because volcano has an L in it and lava starts with an L. So you have to get really creative and clever with the types of clues that you're giving, because you don't have all the letters in the alphabet available to you.
And then maybe the second word could be ash?
Exactly. Yes, exactly. Now, one of the other catches is that you can't use the first letter until the fourth clue, which is your last clue. So I couldn't say something like, you know, volatile or something like that for volcano until the fourth clue. And so teams or the guessers are trying to piece together what this science term might be based upon sometimes very vague clues, but they're also getting letters, essentially almost spelling out that science term. And now the guessers, they can bet points on how confident they are about their guess. You don't have to, but as you get more clues, the amount of points that you're guaranteed begins to decrease. So you're guaranteed to get 4 points if you get it right after the first clue, 3 after the second, 2 after the third, and so on. But you can always bet more points. But the catch is with the betting, if your guess is not right, you don't lose the points that you were guaranteed if you had been wrong, but you do lose any points that you bet. So you could make a big turn by betting a lot of points, but if you're wrong, there's a trade-off there, right?
Cool. So we were able to play a prototype of this game, and I'll say there were some pretty big words on those cards. Tell me about these list of terms that you came up with. Did you try to make like each card have like an easier word and maybe a harder word on it, so that a person, as they're trying to choose their word, can sort of have options? Tell us a little about that process.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. So what we tried to do is we made a long list of words in the in chemistry and biology and physics, and then some in earth science. And then we randomized all the cards so that every card would have one word from the three different for the four different disciplines.
Oh, okay.
So you hopefully won't find a card that has, say, three chemistry terms on it. It'll have one chemistry, one biology, maybe one earth science or one physics. So that's and all the terms that are in there should be roughly sixth grade science and lower. But the thing about sixth grade science is sometimes, you know, like back in chemistry class in sixth grade, there might be some very specific terms like stoichiometry or something like that, where it's like, I've completely forgotten what that word means, you know?
Dude, I didn't take chemistry till I was in like ninth or 10th grade.
There you go. So most of the words should be fairly basic, but there are some tougher words. Now for the people out there who are like the really heavy scientists and they want some more advanced stuff. We are going to have a series of more advanced cards in the game. So you can play with just the very basic cards, or you can play with some more of the advanced words. And we're also going to have some add-on packs. So we have an earth science add-on pack, which has like geology, oceanography, those types of advanced words in it. We're going to have a space science add-on pack, which has some astronomy, cosmology, and astrophysics. We'll have a medicine add-on pack, which goes deeper into anatomy, physiology, and some medical terminology. And then we have another one. And I can't remember what it is. It's escaping me. But we have another one. And hopefully as this nerd word brand begins to grow, we'll have, you know, a lot more add-on packs and even break into some disciplines outside of science, like history or art or law or those kinds of things.
That's like the first thing that came to my mind.
Yeah, and I was going to ask about that, so it's good to hear. It's also probably good for our listeners to know that with the on the cards, there are some definitions for the terms as well. So
that's
if you're
exactly
like,
right.
I'm not exactly sure, what this term is. Oh, here's a definition to remind me if it's been, you know, 15 or 20 years since you've been in a science class.
Right, exactly.
So tell me a little bit more about the Kickstarter campaign. Let's jump into that a little bit more and what's been happening.
Yeah. So we actually, our original launch was March 19th. To be totally honest and totally transparent, I think we got a little cocky and we kind of, we launched the campaign and we didn't do a whole lot of push or a whole lot of marketing. And we just sort of assumed our organic audience would show up and really help us push the funding goal on the first day and get past that. And then we can reach out to media outlets to help overfund. Well, that did not happen. Part of it was our fault, and part of it was a sort of perfect storm of other events. So we had just gotten back from Gamma on Friday afternoon, which was a few days before we launched. And I have two young kids at home, so I can't spend a lot of time over the weekend working on projects like this. And the weather's really nice here. Finally, the weather is really nice because it's been winter forever. So I want to go in the backyard and clean my backyard up so the kids can play out there and grill.
Sure.
You know, so we're so come Monday, we realize that we're just really, really behind with the Kickstarter campaign. You know, most of the content isn't up yet and our financial model hasn't been built yet. And our director of finance and operations, his father-in-law was in the hospital over the weekend as well. So he didn't come in Monday or Tuesday. So,
sorry to hear that.
Yeah. It was a very difficult, it was a crazy, crazy week for everyone. And, we kept our launch date because we had made so many announcements about the launch date, but we really just weren't prepared. We didn't have the content on the page that we needed. We didn't have the marketing materials that we needed. We launched in a hurry. And then once we launched, we had to jump into a whole bunch of, I had a developer come in and start. We just hired a developer who started on Tuesday morning. So it was immediately after we launched. I was up till 5 a.m. on Tuesday getting the campaign finished up. And then we launched, and then I went to bed for 3 hours. And then I woke up at 8 and then came into the office because we had a new developer starting. And so it was just chaos. And when we sent the email newsletter out, I don't think our subject line was very good. I think it was kind of confusing and wasn't clear. And so, you know, all these things combined, we just had a flop of a first day, and then the campaign just kind of hit a brick wall after that. So we are going to cancel it and then relaunch on Tuesday the 26th. Is that right? Yes, Tuesday the 26th.
So when our listeners hear this, it'll already be live.
It should already be live, and hopefully it should already be far funded and beyond that, and we'll get the actual traction that we think this game deserves, because it's a really, really fun game, especially if you get a group of people together who just want to feel clever and geek out over some science terms. It's a really fun game for that.
Cool. Well, we're excited about Nerd Wars. We enjoyed playing it. And we actually, in our video, you saw that one of Sarah's sons played it, Liam, and he had a fun time playing it too. So I think it's good for all ages.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it's a great family game. And now that I think about it, that might also be kind of an issue, because right now it's spring break and there might be a lot of people out on spring break. That's another reason why.
Yep.
Anyway.
Yeah, write that down. So tell us... Yeah. What is the base reward level for Nerd Words?
Yeah, so the game has an MSRP of $30, and we are offering a copy of the game for $19 for the Kickstarter campaign. So it's a pretty outrageous discount. And then there's a deluxe version, which is the base game plus all four of those add-on packs, those advanced add-on packs that I was talking about. Mm-hmm. And that, I think the MSRP for that one is $50.
Okay.
And we're offering that one for $29.
Wow, so that's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, their backers are getting this stuff for almost half off, right? Which is almost like what the retailers are purchasing at through distribution. Cool. And of course, there's a extra few dollars for shipping, but it's a pretty huge discount. You can get a pack of two of either of those, and we're also going to do a bulk pledge where if you want a pack of six for Christmas gifts or to give out to a classroom or something else, then fantastic, you can buy a whole bulk pack.
Cool. Well, is there anything else on the horizon that you'd like to tell our listeners to look out for from Genius Games?
Oh yes, so many things we have on the horizon. We are about to hit retail with Periodic, a game of the elements, and this year is the 150th anniversary of the periodic table. So the United Nations declared this the International Year of the Periodic Table.
Wow! So the stars have aligned for you.
Oh, they have. Yes, that was serendipitous for sure. We didn't actually know that this year was the year of the periodic table when we first started making the game. It just sort of happened during its launch year. But we have a ton of media covering that launch as well, because of that. We have a series of anatomy jigsaw puzzles where there's seven different jigsaw puzzles, and when you put them all together, it forms a 10-foot tall human across your floor. And all the pieces are custom shaped around the anatomy of the human body. And we hired a certified medical illustrator to put that together for us. It's a really fantastic thing that we're excited about. And that should be coming out maybe June or July. We've got a whole bunch of prototypes for games that we're excited about. One's called Physics Park, which is a game about Newtonian mechanics within an actual amusement park. So Newtonian physics.
That's cool.
Yeah, I'm developing that one with Jeff Inkelstein from Ludology Podcast. He's got a number of games out. We're working on a game called Gastro right now, which is a game we just licensed. It's about the human digestive system. It's a really cool and clever game. We're doing some expansions for Cytosis. I've got a game called Genotype, a Mendelian genetics game. It's about Punnett squares, if you remember back to biology class. That one's getting developed by Ian Zhang. He's helping us with that one.
We know Ian.
Yeah, so just lots of stuff we're working on. We're really excited to pump a bunch of this stuff out. The next week we'll really be focused on the Nerd Words relaunch, and then after that we'll see what pops up next.
Cool. Well, thanks for being on the show, John. We really appreciate it, and we wish you all the success here with the relaunch of Nerd Words Science.
Yes, thank you so much, and I was happy to be on the show. I had a fun time.
Bye.
Well, it's great talking to John, and I love all the behind the scenes and just talking about like his passion for science and hearing that from him. So cool. Well, I have something. Will and Sarah aren't here, and Will's usually the person that springs things on people.
He's usually,
Are you channeling Will?
I am channeling Will right now, and I have a game for Ryan. We received this game in the mail from Bicycle, nonetheless.
Oh,
that game?
Bicycle is bringing, they're well known for their playing cards.
So Bicycle, yeah. The playing card company.
I was really surprised to hear that they were trying to branch out.
They're jumping in and they're creating their own set of board games. They sent us two games. One is a racing car style card game. And then there's this other party game called It's Blunderful. Ryan, read the tagline.
Betting on life's awkward situations.
So
wow.
When Will and I saw this...
I feel
this,
like you're, like, pigeonholing me. Is this stereotyping? Or?
No, Will actually said, you need to play this with Ryan.
Okay.
So technically I'm not channeling Will, I'm just obeying what Will
is doing.
So here's the game. I'm going to give you a set of cards. You don't have to do the first one, but the first one's fine to do. You're going to read it out loud. All right?
Okay.
Then there's a list of A, B, and C. You read all A, B, and C, telling us what A, B, and C answers would be. Katie, Kevin, and Melissa are going to tell, going to think about what you, Ryan, would actually...
So it's a game for you.
Right.
I'm just moderating.
Right, but it's what Ryan would, how Ryan would answer.
How would Ryan answer?
What would Ryan's response be? Which of these would he choose?
And for those of y'all that don't know, Ryan's like the king of awkward.
Thank you.
You tell me all the time.
A little bit.
Yeah.
All right.
He likes making awkward situations.
Well, let's get right into this. You are mid-story. Everyone is wrapped and you forget the point. Do you A, end with, long story short, that's how riverbeds were formed. B, roll your eyes back in your head and pretend faint. Or C, tell them this is a choose-your-own-adventure story and ask where you should go next.
Wow.
All right, I got an answer. Melissa, you got an answer?
Yes.
All right, you got an answer?
Yes.
All right, Melissa?
I'm going to go C.
I'm going C.
I'm going A.
A is probably more like what I would say.
Yes.
All right.
C is what you wish
because
you
C, yeah, C is what I'd say if I was really witty.
Well, now
A
you
is
know
just what I would
when it happens in the
most
future.
Likely say.
Now you know what to do.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
All right, go.
Choose your own adventure. Yeah. All right. You waved at someone you thought you knew but didn't. Happens all the time. All right.
Oh my.
Do you A, pretend you're shaking crumbs off your hand? B, roll with it and give them a compliment. You are super friendly. C, own up to it and admit you thought they were someone else.
Melissa, or we'll go Katie this time.
Wow, I'm pretty sure I have seen Ryan do B and C. So I think I'm just, oh man, this is so hard. C, I'm going with
I'm
C.
I'm just
going
to go C anyway.
Yeah, I think C.
I'm leaning towards B because that happens to me all the time where I'm more friendly to people than I mean to be.
That is true. I told you, I've seen Ryan do this. I've seen him do B and
so
C.
So you would say,
I would, yeah.
You
both
are...
and give them a compliment.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Ryan.
All right.
Yeah.
You have to give someone your email address you created at age 11. I do this sometimes too. It was age 13.
I just
want
to let you know, Ryan, there is probably a couple hundred cards in here. I personally picked these few out for us tonight.
This is
good.
Okay. Okay. A, tell a poignant story about why you selected the moniker. B, act like it's perfectly natural. Your 34-year-old self is still going by Cutie Booty 15.
Oh my goodness.
Or C, make up a new email and register it later.
Wow. All
right, I'm going. It's my turn. I'm going to go
okay.
A. I'm going A.
I'm definitely going A.
Yeah, I think it's A.
It is A. I tell people about Xerxes Embrology all the time.
All right, next one, Ryan.
Someone is holding the door when you're 30 yards away. Do you A, run to the door and give a breathless thank you? B, wave them on? C, walk a normal pace and maintain eye contact while they watch you? Vicious.
Back to you.
Oh, I don't know. A.
So it's either you walk real fast.
You run over there real fast.
Or you B, just like say, just go on. I'm going to go B. You say, just go on.
I've seen him do
A and B.
A and C.
Ooh, A and C.
So... It depends on what kind of mood he's in.
All right. What's
I think he most often does A.
Yeah, A is the one I do the most.
I do that all the time, too, because our door at work locks automatically now, and people will hold the door if you're all the way across the parking lot, and I've done it. I'm like, I'm coming! I run the whole way yelling, I'm coming!
All
right. You fling open the door of a bathroom stall on a stranger.
Oh, my.
Do you A, give a wide-eyed shriek and dart out of it? B, become red-faced and frozen in place until they fling the door back at you? Or C, calmly shut the door and hit up the next one? Happens to everyone.
I've never been ones. With Ryan as he, any of this has happened.
Know. I just had to put some embarrassing ones in there, Ryan. I'm going to...
Not my turn to start.
I'll go A. I know, what was A again?
Give a wide-eyed shriek and dart out of there.
I'll do A. Definitely A.
Okay. I'm going C. Pretty sure it's C.
Oh, that's oh, A. Hmm. Uh-oh, I'll just be contrary and say B.
Yeah, it was probably a mix of C and B in that I froze in place and then just calmly shut the door.
All right. Three left. Last three.
Okay. You reveal the name of your new baby and someone says they don't like it. Do you A,
say,
I don't recall asking for your opinion. B, explain that's why you're a trendsetter and they're not. C, say you considered their name but had it had a real butthead attached to it.
Oh my goodness. I think I've heard him say all of these.
I'm going to go B, that you're like, we're trendsetters. All right.
I'm going A.
Probably A.
Which is what again?
Oh, say, oh, I don't recall asking for your opinion.
Okay.
Probably A.
Okay.
I don't really identify with any of those, but okay.
Yeah.
That has happened.
What's D then, Ryan? What's D?
Long explanation of etymologies of names.
And
has this actually happened to you with Farron?
Nobody said they didn't
like it. No, nobody says they didn't like it.
In our face, at least.
Yes, maybe nobody said to our face. Okay. They've told us that.
Second last one. You run into someone from high school and don't remember who they are. Do you A,
oh my goodness,
fake it till you make it? B, politely ask if they know you? C, ask if they're married now so you can ask their new name?
Oh, that only works for girls.
I'm going to go, you fake it till you make it.
Fake it till you make it. As I'll say, I couldn't help it. I had to point and be like, that's the one. Because he does that all the time.
Last one, Ryan.
You're chatting with someone who has food in their teeth. Do you A, stare at your shoes or their forehead, just don't look at their mouth? B, just tell them you'd hate it if it happened to you? Or C, run your tongue over your own teeth and hope they get the hint?
Melissa?
A.
I go A.
I've forgotten what A is.
Stare at your shoes or their forehead. Just don't look at them.
I think Ryan subconsciously does C, which is he runs his tongue over his teeth.
I probably do D, where I just stare at it the entire time. And then if I'm really thinking about it, I'll do B.
So here's the thing.
Just tell them.
There's this. Yeah. The name of the game, of course, is It's Blunderful from Bicycle coming out, I think, in May sometime. Betting on life's awkward situations. What we found out tonight is, even though these are awkward situations and there's awkward ways to responding, there's always a more awkwardly awkward option that isn't even on the card.
Yes.
That's what we're finding.
Yes. Yeah. Stare at that.
I could write their expansion pack.
Yes.
Contact me up, Bicycle.
Yeah.
So as we close this Kickstarter, episode for tonight, we wanted to mention two things. One, today is April 1st, and we have a special video that Melissa would like to talk about briefly.
Oh, yes, me. Of course, me.
Yeah.
So if you've ever struggled with analysis paralysis, or maybe someone in your game group does, then we have a video for you on our YouTube channel.
Look up Meeplex XP. That's Meeple with an X, Meeplex XP. All right. And number two, as we close out, we just really wanted to ask you, as our listeners and our fans, to consider supporting us on our Kickstarter campaign. We all have full-time jobs, so what we're doing here is a passion. We really love doing it, but it does cost money. We were actually just talking about what, you know, we need to spend money on. We are trying to do more live streams, so we have the Sling Studio that helps us with that. We need lights. I know Studio Awesome.
We're getting tired of trying to stuff our parachute lights through the doorway every time we need to get B-roll.
You have to hand-me-down.
So better lighting for Studio Awesome would be good. We also are talking about, you know, right now our podcasting, we're doing this weekly. We'd like to make it a better podcast for you. The sound quality is not that good, and we need more mics. We need a mixing board. We need things to make it a better quality so that when you're listening to it, it's a pleasure to listen to, and it doesn't sound bad. So yeah, there are lots of things that we would like to do. If we could raise the funds for it, we've even talked about creating more top 10 videos and things like that. Those just take extra time. Mm-hmm. And just, so we had some stretch goals like that. There is something that maybe we'll reveal later, but there's something that I would look forward to if we reached a certain funding goal. I'll talk to you guys about it after we stop recording. Ooh. But yes, there's lots of cool things. So check out our Tantrum House Season 6 Kickstarter campaign. We'd love for you to support us.
Us and support yourselves, because there's so many awesome rewards that you'll get by backing us.
Well, until next time, thank you for listening, and you guys have a great rest of your day.
Bye!
Thanks for listening to the Tantrum House Board Game Podcast. If you liked any part of this at all, find and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and tantrumhouse.com. Like us, share us, email us, call us, or send us a postcard. Thank you!
Holmes.
What is it, Watson?
I think we might have a new case. How can we help, Miss?
It's Mrs. Fields, and I need you to settle a dispute. We have a small home with room for one table. My husband wants a fancy gaming table, but I believe a dining table is more important. I'm sure you agree with me, Mr. Holmes.
What if I told you I could satisfy both your wishes?
I'd say that'd be astounding, Holmes.
The answer is the Holmes, or perhaps the Watson, depending on the size of your room.
You're not making any sense, old chap.
Those are the names of an ingenious product from Game Toppers LLC. The toppers are a portable solution that turns your current table into a high-end gaming table at a fraction of the cost.
Do you mean to say that the topper can be put on and taken off the table with ease?
Absolutely.
Thank you, Mr. Holmes. You truly are as amazing as people say. I will take a look at Game Toppers LLC right away.